The Easter story is the story of life. But before we get to life, it begins with death. And tonight I want us to think about death. Death is something horrible. Death is something ugly. It's the thing which is going to end our lives, and it's going to shatter the lives of those left behind us. It's the one thing which is a certainty for every human being. In our society, death is something that we try and hide away from, something that we try and avoid. We try and push it into old people's homes or hospices. But it's something that we can never hide away from completely. Just this last week, in the UK, in the news, we had a 3-year-old child killed when her pushchair was blown into the path of a van outside her home. We've had a 14-year-old girl savaged to death by 4 dogs in the house of a friend. 2 young men died when the car that they were in jumped a red light, clipped a van, ploughed into a bridge. A young man walking home from a night out never reached home. His body was found in the snow the next morning. Those are just things that we've heard in our headlines in the past week. And those were all young people. Those were all people who weren't expecting to die last week. On average, if we're not reading the news, 5 people die in the UK every day on our roads. 2 people are murdered. 10 children aged 15 or under die each day. Every other day, someone dies in a work-related accident. Those are people that you're not expecting to die. But of course, there are those who we know are going to die. The cancer patients struggling with pain. The elderly folk hit by a stroke or a heart attack. The dementia sufferers gradually losing their minds, dying slowly, bit by bit. From the youngest of us to the oldest of us, we all face the frightening prospect of death. How do you feel about it? How do you feel about death? I think a lot of people, when they stop and think about death, are scared. But the reasons that people find death frightening can be different. For some of us, I think it's the process of dying, it's the moment of death that scares us. It might be the thought of the illness and the pain that you'll need to go through, or the moment when you're struggling for breath, or knowing that there's a car coming towards you and it's going to hit you. And just the thought of that moment seems horrible beyond words. For some of us, it's that moment of death that's frightening. For other people, what really frightens them is the knowledge of what they're going to lose. You know that death is going to be the end of everything that you've loved and valued in this world. It's just going to be ripped away from you in a moment. You know, in that moment, you're going to lose your family and your friends, or the career that you built, or the reputation that you've earned, whatever it is. It's just going to be gone in a second. And you know that you can't take anything with you from this world. You know that the pharaohs of ancient Egypt were wrong when they thought they could take things through with them into the afterlife. You're scared because you know it's going to be a moment of total loss. Or maybe you simply fear the fact that death is unknown. Maybe some of you are wondering whether there is life after death. You're asking yourselves, well, is it just the end, oblivion? Or is it darkness and loneliness? Is it hopelessness and despair? If there is such a place as heaven, how do I get there? It's just a very frightening, unknown prospect. Or it might be that you are clear that there is life after death. You know that the moment you die isn't going to be the end. You know there's going to be a moment when you will have to face God. And you know that you're not ready for that moment. You feel guilty and ashamed. And you're frightened of being judged by God. You fear being punished forever. You're scared of the idea of hell and the fact that you're going there. I think most people, the majority of people, and maybe this is you, simply refuse to think about death at all. You live for today. You pretend the day you'll die will never come. And death just becomes a nagging reality pushed to the back of your mind. It's too frightening to actually face up to it. So you never do face it. I don't know if that describes any of you here. But all of us are going to have to face death one day. But tonight I want to introduce you to a man who is very close to death. In fact, he's on death row. Very soon he's going to be led out to be executed. And he knows it. He's not sure how long he has. It could just be a few hours' time. Or it could be weeks. Or it could be a few months. But he knows that death is staring him squarely in the face. And this man isn't refusing to face up to death. He's not pretending it's not going to happen. He knows that sometime within the next few months, the moment that he departs from this life is coming. And that man writes these words. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Let me read those words again. Our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. This man is the Apostle Paul. If you were here this morning, we were thinking about him a little then. And he's writing to a friend of his, a man named Timothy. And we read those words from that letter earlier. And you see that Paul, here at the end of his life, instead of being overwhelmed with fears and doubts, can say, death for me has been abolished. Instead of fearing death, I'm looking forward to life and immortality. Well, how can Paul say such a thing? Does he think that somehow he's going to escape from dying? That somehow he's going to be released miraculously from the prison in which he's now captive? Or is he expecting some miraculous delivery, an angel to come and release him as he's being led out to be executed? No, not at all. Later in the letter, Paul says this. He says, I am being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure has come. He knows he's about to die. But here is a man with no fear of death, with no concern about judgment. Here is a man with absolute certainty of a future full of joy and life that's going to last forever. Well, what is it that gives him this certainty? How can we gain what Paul has? How can we be as certain as he is? How can we be rid of the fear of dying, of the fear of death? Well, the answer lies in what we're remembering today, the Easter story. The morning when a man who just 3 days earlier had died a horrible, tragic, premature death, the morning when that man rose from the dead. He walked out of his tomb with a body of great power and glory, a body that can never die again, a man who was filled with life and energy and joy. That's the great story of Easter. That's the good news of Jesus Christ. And Paul, the man who wrote these words about the Lord Jesus Christ, was a man who had met Jesus. He'd met him before Jesus died. But at that point, he didn't believe that Jesus was the Son of God. He didn't follow him then. He didn't trust him. And in fact, when Jesus' disciples, after Jesus had risen from the dead, began to preach that Jesus was alive, Paul was absolutely furious. He hated this message. Nothing made him feel crosser ever in his life. He was so furious that he set about persecuting anyone who said those words, who claimed that Jesus was alive. He arrested the Christians. He had them dragged to prison. He even set out on journeys to other cities in order to arrest people who were saying that in places far away from where he lived. He was filled with hatred against Jesus. He wanted to silence that message. He wanted to stop anyone from ever saying again that the Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. And yet, as he went towards one of those cities with his heart full of rage against the Lord Jesus, he saw and heard something which would change his life forever. He saw and heard the Lord Jesus, risen from the dead, blazing with glory. And he knew that that thing that he'd hated so much, the thing he didn't want to believe, was true. The Lord Jesus was alive. The Lord Jesus had risen from the dead. And that Lord Jesus forgave Paul. And the Lord Jesus gave him a great task to do. And from that moment on, Paul was a changed man. Instead of attacking Jesus' followers, he became one of them. Instead of opposing the message, he preached everywhere that Jesus is alive, risen from the dead. And he preached that anyone who believes in him will be forgiven from their sins and be given eternal life. Life that will last forever. And Paul called that message good news, the gospel. And here, 30 years later or more, at the end of his life, you can see that he's still totally convinced by that message. He's still preaching the same message. He's still telling people that the Lord Jesus is alive. And you see that that message has the power to deliver him from all the fear of death. It's the fact that he's met with and seen the Lord Jesus. It's the fact that he's had his sins forgiven. It's the fact that he's been changed by the Lord Jesus, which means that he's lost his fear of death. Let's just think about those fears about death and dying that we listed out earlier and see why none of those terrify this man, Paul. First thing that we said scares people about dying. is the fear of dying itself, the fear of the moment of death. And Paul knows, as we've said, that that moment is coming, when he will have to go through the moment of dying, when a Roman sword is going to flash down and sever his head from his body. Now that thought, the thought of the moment of death, can be absolutely paralysing, even for Christians who are sure of whether that they'll be safe when they die, even for people who are convinced that when they die they will be in heaven, that they will be with the Lord Jesus. The actual moment of dying can be a terrifying one. So why doesn't it terrify Paul? Well, Paul has faced that moment before. There was an occasion when he was in the Asian city of Lystra, and a crowd gathered around him and picked up stones and started hurling them at Paul. And in that moment, Paul thought he was going to die. He was knocked unconscious. The people throwing the stones thought they had killed him and dragged him out of the city. He survived. On another occasion, he was about to be ripped apart by a lynch mob, until at the last moment, a squadron of Roman soldiers intervened and rescued him. Paul, on three different occasions, was in a boat, a ship that was wrecked. And on one of them, he tells us that he spent a day and a night clinging to the wreckage in the sea before he was rescued. This is a man who has faced death not just once, but many times. He himself said this, he said, "I've been often near death." He said there was an occasion where we despaired of life itself. He knows what it's like to face the moment of death. And how did he cope in those situations? Well, he tells us. He tells us this in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 9. He says that this happened, that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. What did Paul find was his hope at the moment that he was facing death? He found that he could rely on the God who raises the dead. He knew that he could find help from the God who raised the Lord Jesus to life on that first Easter morning. It's not that the moment of dying became easy to him. When people were throwing those stones at him, they hurt. The moments, the hours he was clinging onto the wreckage in the sea, he would have been cold and soaked and frightened and exhausted. And yet at those moments when he was despairing of life, he knew that the one who restores life was with him and helping him. You know, years before, Paul had seen someone else going through that situation. He watched a man named Stephen being murdered, again by having stones thrown at him. And Paul had seen that man receiving just that kind of help from God. He'd heard Stephen say that he'd seen heaven opened and the risen Lord Jesus standing at God's right hand. He knew in that moment that anyone who dies trusting themselves to the Lord Jesus needn't fear the moment of death, because they can be sure that at that moment the Lord Jesus will be there with them. Yes, the moment of death may still be horrible, it may still be painful, but it's not something that you have to go through alone. It's not something you have to go through without help. It's a moment when you can rely on the God who raises the dead. But of course, that raises a question, doesn't it, for each one of us? The question is, have I trusted myself to the Lord Jesus? Can I rely on him? Because you can't be certain of his help unless you know that you have become his follower. Unless you know that you've trusted yourself to him for life and eternity. So that's the first fear, the fear of the moment of death. But then there's a second fear we talked about. We said that some people fear death because of the fear of losing everything. The fear of losing everything that we've achieved and gained here in this world. And you know, Paul was a man who achieved a tremendous amount of things here in this world. Just think about what Paul had done at this point in time. Here is the key man in establishing the Church of Jesus Christ across the whole of the known world. Paul could look out over the whole Roman Empire and see hundreds, thousands of churches. And he could say to himself, they exist because of my work, because of what I've done. Here is a man who, in his letters, is the main author of the New Testament, which millions of us are still reading today. Here is the man who has defined what the church is, who's taught the church that it's supposed to be a single unity, Jews and Gentiles together, slaves and free men, all gathered together into a single unity. You know, Paul, I think it's fair to say, more than any other human being, bar the Lord Jesus, is the man who has influenced the subsequent history of Christianity more than anyone else. And with that, the shape of the history of the world for the next 2,000 years. Paul is a man who's achieved tremendous things here in this world. And yet Paul, here at the moment of death, has no fear whatsoever of leaving it behind, of losing what he's done here in this world. Why not? Because everything that he's done here in this world has been with the one aim of gaining a reward in the world to come. This is what he says later in that letter to Timothy. He says this: I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but to all who have loved his appearing. Paul isn't fearing death because he's going to lose something. Paul is looking forward to death because of the reward he is going to gain. He's looking for something beyond death. He's looking for the reward of all his efforts. He's saying, I've come to the end of my race. He's like an Olympic champion who is walking up the steps of the podium about to receive his gold medal. Well, that Olympic champion doesn't say, I wish I was still running the race. It's the moment of triumph. It's the moment of glory. He says, the race is finished. I don't need to fear death. That's just the finishing line. He says, for those who love the appearing of the Lord Jesus, there is only wonderful gain beyond death. He says, there's nothing in this world that's worth clinging on to. He's been investing all his time and energy and effort in this world, not to hold on to what he's got in the world, but to earn something in the world to come. Well, can you say that about yourself? Can you say that you love the appearing of the Lord Jesus? Can you say, that you're living not for things in this world, but that you're seeking rewards in the world to come. That's the only way to be delivered from the fear of losing what you have in this world, is to be looking forward more to what you're expecting to be given by the Lord Jesus in the world to come. So Paul doesn't fear the moment of dying. Paul has no need to fear losing everything he has in this world. And Paul has no need to fear the unknown. When he thinks about death, he doesn't say, "I'm frightened because I don't know what's going to happen," because he knows exactly what is going to happen to him. He knows exactly where he's going when he dies. He knows that he's going to be with the Lord Jesus, the one that he met on that road to Damascus, the risen Lord Jesus. Listen again to what he says to Timothy later in that letter. He says this: "The Lord will rescue me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom." He's not saying he's not going to be killed, is he? He's saying he's going to be brought safely into the kingdom of his Lord. Paul knows that he's going home. He's going to be with his Saviour. And so he's not looking at death into something unknown. He's not fearing loneliness because he knows he's going to be with the people he loves, and above all with the one he loves most of all, his Saviour. He's not fearing darkness because he knows he's going to be in the kingdom of light. He doesn't fear that he's facing hopelessness or despair because he knows that he's looking forward to an eternity of joy and pleasure, of interest and knowledge, of usefulness and love. He's going to be in the kingdom of his Lord Jesus. And how does Paul know that? How does Paul know where he's going? How can he be so sure of what lies beyond death? Simply because of this. Because the Lord Jesus died and returned from death. A man who has encountered death and been through to the other side, and who has risen again, has come back, and he's told us what lies beyond death for those who utterly rely on him, who've trusted themselves to him in life and in death. Who else can you trust to tell you what lies beyond death? You know, there are lots of people who are very keen to tell us that when we die, it's the end of our lives, that there's nothing beyond. And they say they're absolutely sure of that. But of course, the great question that they can't answer is this: how do you know? How can anyone possibly say they can be sure there is nothing beyond death? Because no one has ever gone and come back and said there's nothing. But the Lord Jesus has died, and he has returned, and he has told us absolutely that those who've trusted him will be with him forever. And so we can be sure. So Paul doesn't need to fear the moment of death. He doesn't need to fear losing everything. He doesn't need to fear the unknown. And the fourth thing he doesn't need to fear is facing judgment. He doesn't need to fear God being angry with him. Now, we might think that of all those fears, that surely this is the one that Paul should fear the most. This is the man, after all, who violently attacked Jesus' disciples, who fought against the risen Lord Jesus, who opposed him in every way that he could, In his own words, Paul says this: I was a blasphemer, persecutor, an insolent opponent. Why should Paul expect anything except punishment, judgment, despair when he meets God, when he dies? Paul has looked at himself and said, that's what I deserve. He said, I deserve to die. I deserve to be punished. I have been utterly wicked. And yet this man, who can see that's true about himself, is unafraid to die. He is confident that he can stand before the Lord Jesus as his righteous judge. Well, how do those two things go together? How can a man who's acted in such a wicked way be so confident that he's not going to be punished? Well, it's simply because Paul has understood the gospel, the good news. He has understood just why Jesus died and rose again that first Easter. In the verse we read at the beginning, what does Paul call Jesus? He calls him our Saviour, Christ Jesus. He says, Jesus is the one who has rescued me, who has saved me. But what has Jesus rescued Paul from? What's he saved him from? He's rescued him from death. Death, the Bible says, is the punishment for our wrongdoing. The only reason we die is because the human race has rebelled against God, because we've sinned against him, because we break his commands, because we're disobedient and selfish, because we want to do what we want to do rather than what God wants us to do. That's the reason why anyone dies. But Paul says that Jesus has abolished death. He's made it powerless. It no longer has a grip on him. Death can no longer be used as a punishment for Paul. Well, how has Jesus done that? Paul says he's done it by his appearing. Jesus, the Son of God, came into the world as a man. And he lived a perfect life. He never once said anything wrong. He never once did anything wrong. He never even had a single wrong thought. But then he died. He chose to die. Remember, he didn't need to die, because death is the punishment for sin, and he'd never sinned. But Jesus chose to die, to give up his life. He chose to die not for anything he'd done, but he chose to die in the place of others, in the place of people like Paul, and like me, and like you. And when he died, he took our sins and our guilt, everything wrong that we've done, he took that upon himself, and he took the punishment that we deserved. He died in our place. And in return for our sin, he gives us his goodness, his righteousness, his perfect life. That's why the Lord Jesus died, bearing our sins in his body, bearing the punishment that we deserve. So then, if I can say that Jesus has died for me, then I can say that death has no claim on me, that death cannot seize me, it has no hold on me. Death cannot be used to punish me. Death has been abolished for me. And then the Lord Jesus rose from death, because he had taken the whole punishment. There was no penalty left to pay. Once someone's finished the end of their sentence, they're released from prison, aren't they? Well, the Lord Jesus on the cross bore the punishment for the sins of everyone who has trusted in him. And when he had finished, He laid down his life, and then he rose from death to show that death no longer had a hold on him. He couldn't remain dead, and he lives forever sharing that life with everyone who's trusted in him, with everyone whose sins he bore on the cross, men like Paul, and many of us, men, women and children sitting here tonight. And that is why Paul is so confident about facing the judge. He knows that when he's died, and when he looks into the face of the Lord Jesus, when he looks into the eyes of the judge, he's looking into the eyes of one who has died in his place, who has abolished death for him. And not only that, Paul knows that beyond that, beyond the physical process of dying, the day is coming when that risen Lord Jesus will return. And he will call Paul's battered old body back from death. And that body will begin to share the resurrection of life of the Lord Jesus for all eternity. No longer in a battered body, but in a body that's been recreated in power and glory. Paul knows the day is coming when he will share in the Easter resurrection. And why? How does it happen? Simply because he has trusted himself, heart and soul, now and forever, into the hands of the Lord Jesus. It's not because of anything that Paul's done. It's not because of his hard work. It's not because of his great intellect. But simply, when the Lord Jesus met with him on the road to Damascus, Paul knew that he'd been wrong, and he trusted himself to the Lord Jesus for the rest of his life and for eternity. And that's the gospel. That's the good news. That's the message which takes away the fear of death and dying. Jesus Christ, born as a man, dying for sinners, risen from death, sharing his resurrection life with all those who trust him and follow him. That's the way you can be freed from the fear of death and of dying. It's by trusting yourself to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's by following him. It's by serving him. It's by allowing him to take control of your life. Our Saviour Christ Jesus, who abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. If you fear death, if the idea of dying worries you, it doesn't need to. You need to trust yourself to the Lord Jesus. And when would be better to do that than this Easter time, the time when we're remembering his rising from death and his abolishing death, his victory over death.